Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, and our next guest on our virtual segment is Beth Porter. Beth is the CEO of Riff Analytics. Welcome, Beth.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Riff Analytics and what it is that you do?
Sure. Riff Analytics is a company that uses sensing technologies and AI to help inform people how they're working together when they get together online. So if you work in a small group, as most people do in your workplace, or if you work in a small group in your learning environment, as increasingly people do, we offer a platform that lets you measure your interactions with others, see what that interaction looks like, and then work toward making it better and better over time. That data comes through all the sensing technologies that we're becoming acquainted with now. So vocal data, facial gestural data, text data, all those things get combined, and you can really tell a lot about what happened, even if you don't know the exact words or the transcript or anything like that. There's a lot of data there that can be used and model how people interact.
Wow, that's really interesting. The first thought came to my mind was a little Big Brother-ish, right? Yeah, feedback on every aspect of what you're doing.
Sure.
But really the technology, and I guess AI technology, is there to be able to provide those, call them data points and feedback. So it's fascinating. And so tell us a little bit about how it works. Is there software? Is there hardware? How does it all work?
Yeah, it's entirely a software-based solution. And just to your point about the Big Brother aspect of it, what we provide is data back to the person. This is not a system that's meant to be punitive or oriented toward performance management or anything like that. We really care deeply about the functioning of groups and people within them and getting a better sense of your sort of interpersonal dynamics and help individuals develop sort of the social context for being able to function as well as they can in any context that they're in. So for us, it's about your data to you about things that you do. And we really try to steer clear of providing individual data to organizations that people are affiliated with unless they grant us explicit permission and understand exactly what it's going to be used for, or we provide it in the aggregates, so that no individual is called out. So one of the things we measure, for example, is interruption. So if you interrupt somebody and you get a reputation for having a very interruptive way of speaking, we wouldn't want that to somehow make it up to somebody else and for them to somehow deem this to be a poor, you know, conversational behavior or something like that. So we really, really careful about that perception.
Really interesting. In the aggregate, I could see how a number of these things lead to sort of cultural norms within an organization and how those organizations function. Tell us a little bit in the context of how people are utilizing the feedback and
sure.
What that looks like. Obviously not running through a report, so to speak, but
right.
What are those data points and those pieces of feedback, and how do people internalize it and in turn learn from it? And I guess I'll ask a long question. On the flip side is, how do people actually react and implement those behavioral or changes that you're hoping people take into consideration?
Yeah, all good questions. So the way that people implement this in a system is it's usually through a learning and development activity of one kind or another. Whether that learning and development activity is very intentional, like you're in a program of study of some kind, so an online course or a professional development experience or something like that, or it's just day-to-day intentional, sort of growth of the team and people and how they work together. It's almost always in something that's intentionally reflective and intentionally about growth and professional development. And how it gets used is that we deploy software. We have chat and video chat solutions, and you get to use them like you would every other tool that you use in your arsenal of communication tools, which everybody has every one of in every context that they're in. So you'd use it like Zoom or Slack or any of those other tools. And the data is collected all the time, and it is given back to you in real time on screen. so that you see some, you get a sense immediately of what's happening, even as it's happening in a conversation. If we were using Riff right now in this conversation, we'd see a little, what we call the meeting mediator on screen, and it would show dominance and energy and the activity of the conversation. We also give people data after encounters are over or continuously within their text chat environment to show how their small group interactions are happening and how their larger, you know, group-to-group interactions are happening. And we give that all back in a dashboard.
So I would imagine that this works best if people are on their natural behavior as opposed to trying to play for the camera, so to speak, and because then they get constructive feedback in that regard. Tell us a little bit about the business model. Is it geared towards individuals? Is it geared towards organizations? How do people, you know, engage, sign up for the software? Is it subscription-based? Sure. How does it work?
It's a SaaS product, and it's based on site licenses, and we have a couple different models. We're pretty generous toward educational institutions because we really want to sort of forge a new kind of way of thinking about how education works online, which is collaborative, peer-based, you know, something where you're not just an individual watching things on the screen, but you're really connected in a social network to try to learn together and develop almost a collective intelligence as a group of learners. So that's one way that we deploy is in the SaaS site license. And then you can go and sign up for it yourself as an individual. We actually offer that for free. And you just go and sign up at my.riffremote.com, and you can have a solution that you can use to understand your own dynamics when you meet with others.
That's really interesting. Now, in the event that I signed up as an individual, would the parties that I was speaking with be aware that I'm utilizing the tool?
Definitely.
Or is it? Okay.
Yeah, we have total transparency. We really don't like to sort of hide or make it seem like furtive or weird. You know, we want to make sure that people understand that the feedback is being given, and it's collective feedback. So it's everybody's getting the same stuff. It's not like you get special insight and I don't see what's happening. We really believe again in that transparency of our model so that people don't get surprised by what's happening.
So are you seeing a increased demand for your service as you know, people are more and more engaged in online either learning and or you know, interactions?
Definitely. And it's sort of, there's two sides of the demand. One is for people who've been relatively sophisticated consumers of online products in the past. And so they kind of know what some of the deficiencies of current systems are. Not being able to understand how you affect others is a really big part of being in an environment like this all the time, because it can be so easy just to mute everything and be a passive participant. I shouldn't even say participant, just be a non-participant in events that are held online. So
you mean when I turn off my video and mute myself?
Yeah, like, is he there or is he making tea or feeding his cat? Like, you have no idea. And really to try to surface what's lost when you meet in person. When you meet in person, you get all kinds of great sensing, right? Like, you get to know, you get body language, somebody who's turning a shoulder away from you.
All those visual cues.
Visual cues, but also all the subtle sensing, peripheral sensing, it's a thing. And so when you walk into a room, you can sense the two people had an argument. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you pick up, and we're trying to surface all that again and give people a more sophisticated way of understanding what's happening when they interact with others online. We've also gotten a lot of curiosity seekers who have absolutely no idea what we do, but they're just looking for something that isn't, not to call them out, not Zoom, and, you know, trying to see whether it will make them feel less exhausted or less under strain working all day online. So
I would imagine there's an interesting marketplace for a formal education, because there's been so much in the press and so much concern. And, you know, you speak to parents every day who are struggling with online learning platforms and how that's being delivered. And I would imagine there's great feedback for educators in terms of how they engage their audiences. And, you know, we all know in a traditional sense, I'll go to higher ed, you know, great professors, poor professors. What's the difference? It's often how they engage the student, right? We learn best when we're interested in what we're learning. And I think part of that also has to do with the engagement factor. you know, how does a professor engage you? I would say, are the examples they're giving relevant to me? Or are they, you know, I can remember back to a graduate stats class where the professor was a baseball fan and almost all of his case studies were rooted in baseball. And I'm a baseball fan, so it was really engaging for me. You know, I love the stories, but I didn't learn a lot of stats. Yeah, that was the challenge. So, yeah, there's that happy medium. And I would imagine that your product and your tool would be great for people that want to develop themselves and their capabilities.
Yeah, and it's both for the instructor themselves to understand what the reactions are like and to like try to get a sense of their own dominance. I mean, a lot of instructors really don't totally understand how to create a more dynamic classroom than the ones that they've done, where they're a lecturer, they're the center of attention, they're the authority. Everything that they say should just be sort of listened to and taken as a priori, you know, sort of truth. And a lot of what you have to do when you move online is really change the model. You have to change away from the teacher as the ultimate authority. You have to change toward a peer-based model, more coaching, more guiding. I think most people kind of intuitively understand that that must be true without actually knowing how to do it. And there's a real big difference between understanding that it's something that should be done and having the tools and mechanisms for actually executing it. So I'm a college professor. I teach over at BU in the Questrom School of Business. And we model all of these different kinds of learning styles. And I tease my students and tell them they're my guinea pigs, but they sort of are sometimes as I try new methods and both technologies and pedagogical methods to try to engage them and keep them really enlivened and really excited, not just in the times when they have topics that they love, like you do with cybermetrics and baseball statistics, but in the topics that they even kind of hate, try to keep them engaged by getting connected to one another and not just to me and the topic that I'm trying to teach. So.
No, it's fascinating. And I think it's something that can be, without using the term learned, that I think our traditional educational model, at least in this country, is so predicated on seniority. And, you know, you're in the spot because, you know, you've got seniority, and we can't get rid of you, as opposed to you're there because you engage students and they love you.
and we always, one of the things I say to my students, and I think I really genuinely believe is true, I teach adults in the adult MBA program. They know a lot. They don't know what I know, but they have their own domains and expertise and specialties. And if they aren't using this environment and this experience to learn from each other, they're missing a whole part of the education that should be there for them every single day when they come to the program. It shouldn't just be that they learn from me.
Absolutely. Well, it's fascinating stuff, Beth. It's really a pleasure to learn a little bit about the company and what it is that you've been doing. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Beth at riffanalytics.ai.
Excellent. Well, our guest has been Beth Porter, CEO of Riff Analytics, and it's been a real pleasure having you on Radio Entrepreneurs.
Thank you, Jonathan.
And we'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.